I will try and be brief because there will be a part three next week. And by the grace of God, the last Sunday of this month, we will dedicate it to the family. So we will have a family talk, and a couple will be ministering to us the last Sunday of this month. So next week, as the Lord permits, will be the part three. So this is Let the Word of the Lord Come to You, part two. The children have helped us, and you've had some of the summaries and some of the things they have taken from the service. So right now, please, I want us to practice our parenting skills, those of us with young children. Keep the children calm. Tell them it's time for them to start writing or drawing. Just keep them occupied. This word is not for just their physical hearing. I realize that when God speaks, the deep is calling to the deep. The word of the Lord is spirit. It's actually speaking, communicating with our spirits. So as young as these children are, they are actually, their spirits are receiving the word of the Lord. Amen. So I read 1 Kings chapter 17. That's where the text is taken from. I will just quickly, as the Spirit will help me to be brief today. But you've heard the sermon, so don't think this is just the sermon. Everything that's been happening is a message. Amen. Right. 1 Kings chapter 17, and I read from the Amplified version of the Bible. It says, now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except at my word. Verse 2, and the word of the Lord came to him, saying, go from here and turn his word and hide yourself by the brook Cherit, which is the east of Jordan River. You shall drink from the brook, and I've commanded the ravens to sustain you there with food. So he went and he did in accordance with the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the brook Cherit, which is the east of Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he will drink from the brook. Verse 7, it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. I want to jump into verse 8. We will expound more on that if you join us on Thursday, Bible study. And next week, Sunday, also, we'll build on that. Verse 8 now says, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, and I will pause there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, one of the things we established last week was that the word of the Lord can and will come to us wherever we are. It is not more so about our physical location that determines whether the word of the Lord will come to us or not. It is the location of our hearts. Where our heart spiritually is located is what determines how the word of the Lord will come to us. So it's not when I go up on a mountain, that's the only time the word of the Lord will come to me. The word of the Lord can come to me in the valley. The word of the Lord can come to you in the dungeon. The word of the Lord can come to you in the bathroom. The word of the Lord can come to you in the toilet. The word of the Lord can come to you in your car. Let me just say this. By the grace of God, I've had the privilege not to be a pastor, because a pastor is just an office. But I will say I had the privilege to be a child of God, to become what the Bible describes, the sons of God. In John chapter 1, the Bible says, as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, and even to them that believe on his name. So I've had that experience of being a child of God. And one of the things, and those of us who are parents, you can bear witness, and those of us who are children, every one of us at one point, we've been children. The first thing, sincerely speaking, that you want as a parent is that your child will hear you, hear your voice, recognize you. And even you, as a child growing up, you want to talk to your parents. Well, that depends on the parenting style also, because some parents don't give children opportunities to express themselves, to actually communicate how they are, how they feel. But one of the strong things we have to understand is that communication is key to every relationship. God wants to talk to us. When we come to the consciousness that there is God, and by God, the source of everything, the creator of the ends of the earth, he wants to also talk to us. God wants us to do his will on earth while we're on this earth. Some of us who have come to know God and want to know him better want to do his will. And, you know, as a pastor, having the privilege to see people's different experiences, different cultures across, you know, different continents by the grace of God now, because I can tell you, I found out that our individual culture has a way of even affecting how we relate with God, how we see God. You know, if you are from an African background like myself, there's a way our culture actually affects the way we relate with God without us knowing. If you are European or even British, you don't realize that at times our interpretation, our concept, our relationship with God is also influenced by our culture. But by the grace of God, there is something called the kingdom culture, where the Bible says there is neither Jew, Gentile, there is no race, there is no female, there is no male. God is God, and God wants to relate with us, and God is spirit. So God communicates with us as spirits, spirit to spirit, because we are spirit beings. So I've seen people, and I've had the privilege to hear people say God speak to them, God spoke to them, or people wanting, desiring God speaking to them. Let me tell you something. One of the easiest things, is for God to speak to you. I'm repeating and emphasizing, if there's anything God wants to do, God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to me. God wants to communicate with mankind. No matter your age, God wants to speak to you. The challenge we have is that when God speaks to us, what do we hear? And how do we hear? We are influenced by culture, tradition, and things we've been told, which is not necessarily right, that starts informing our perception of how God speaks to us or what God is saying. There are people who are here, you feel, God has never spoken to me. If only God can speak to me. Listen, God speaks to you every day. You say, how? The Bible says, night, day, all of creation, they are manifesting the glory of God. I had the privilege to be, you know, I'm a professional teacher. I do teach young people, adults and alike. I had the privilege to be with, you know, some young people, very young people lately. And we were talking. And they all agreed that there was no God. And I told them, how do you know there was no God? They said they just believe there's no God. So I asked one of them, what is your name? And she told me her name. I said, I don't believe that's your name. She said, what do I mean? I said, what I just said. I said, how do you know that is your name? She said, my father and mother told me. I said, and you believe that? How come you believe what your father and your mother told you? What if they lied to you? What if that is not your name? He said, but they told me that's my name. I said, that's it. Faith comes by what we hear. What we are literally told. We are a sum total of the things we have heard, the things we have been told, the things we perceive. Our cultures, our traditions, we are a sum total of these things. The simplest thing that the Bible tells us to live by is by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. They that come to God must believe, well, number one, he exists. And is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us how faith comes. It comes by hearing the word of God. So God wants you and I to live by faith. So God, it behoves God to make sure his word comes to us. So I pray once again in the simplicity, in the way you and I will understand the word of the Lord will come to us. We will not hear what we want to hear, but we will hear what God really wants us to hear, what he is saying. So I see a lot of confusion, and I sense this is why we are going through this teaching. Elijah, the Bible says the word of the Lord came to him. The word of the Lord instructed him what to do. Elijah simply obeyed, and he was in the place by the brook according to the instruction the word of the Lord gave to him. He was there until, the Bible says, the brook started to dry up. But one thing happened here. Elijah was still by that brook. He did not move. Elijah moved, in verse 8 of 1 Kings chapter 17, when the word of the Lord came to him again. Listen, I say this with every trepidation and with every due respect, that experience, encounters with God and with people, I can see most times that people are confused. Most times we get so emotional, especially maybe when you hear a message and the message makes you to shiver. And I see people jump and do rash things because you heard a message. Because, you know, you opened the Bible and you read in the Bible, like I was saying last week. Let's say you open to Genesis 12 and you hear Abraham, God told Abraham, get out of your country, get out of your kindred, your family house, get out of your father's house, onto a place I will show you. And you open that, and immediately you read that, you say, yes, God just spoke to me to get out of my country. God just spoke to me to leave my father's house, my family house. They are nasty people anyway. I'm happy God has told me. I'm just trying to say the inner workings of our minds. You see, we can go to the word of the Lord and make the word of the Lord say what God is not saying. Or we can allow the word of the Lord to come to us to say what God is saying. Listen, if you want to hear God, the first thing you need to note is this scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. Somebody may be asking, how do I know the voice of God? How do I know that it is God speaking to me? Let me tell you. Start by knowing when it is not God speaking and how God will never speak to you. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. The Bible declares there, that the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro. I'm reading the King James Version, but then I will tell us what the Amplified says. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. It says, the eyes of the Lord, the King James says, runs to and fro throughout the whole earth. He said to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. The Amplified puts it this way and says, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth so that he may support those whose heart is completely his. That's the first part of that verse 9. I want you to picture God in heaven, and God has a scanner. Is that the right word? Because a scanning machine will scan. I'm just scanning in the sense that something that x-rays everybody's heart on the earth. Everybody. Because the Bible tells us that that is what God looks at. Your heart. And that is why we need to understand it's not about the physical location. You can be, in quote, on top of the mountain and the word of God will not come to you there. Why? Because you went on that mountain, but your heart was in America while you were in the mountain. Like some of us are in this building now, I can't see your heart, but God sees. Maybe some of us have traveled to Mexico while you're here. And the word of the Lord is coming to you. Guess what? You're already in Mexico. So the word of the Lord cannot come to you because your heart is not here. So what God is looking at is not the physical location where we are physically, but where our heart is. That is where the word of the Lord will meet with us. So God is scanning and looking at everybody's heart. And the heart that is yielded to him. The heart, the Bible says, whose heart is perfect. You see, that word perfect there is just a heart that is yielded, whole. It's not talking about sinless perfection. We all have sinned, the Bible said. And that is why even while we were sinners, some of us, like myself, I know, I heard the voice of God. I heard an experience with God when I didn't know God at all. I heard God's voice when I didn't even know God. That's how I got saved. That's how I became a child of God. Because even God spoke to me while I didn't know him. And I showed us last week, and I need to correct this, sorry. I need to correct because my wife was telling me and reminding me. I kept saying Ahimelech. It's in Genesis chapter 20. A king of Gera, Philistine king, who did not even know God. But God spoke to him. It's not Ahimelech, please. It is Abimelech. So please pardon my human frailty. We are flesh and blood. And that is why even when I deliver a message to people, I still tell them to go and pray. Go and check it with God. Because I am not God. I am just a vessel. The Bible tells us about some Christians. They were very noble. They were in Thessalonica. We see them in Acts chapter 17, I believe verse 11. He says they were more noble. When Paul preaches like this in the synagogue, they will go back home to go and search the scriptures to see if what Paul said in the synagogue is according to the written word of God. That's one of the challenges we have in the time we live in. We just listen, hook, line, sinker, we take it because somebody standing on the pulpit doesn't mean everything they are saying is exactly what God is saying. If you are a vessel and water is passing through you, the water will first of all take the shape of that vessel. And if the vessel is containing a little bit of impurities or some coloration or some dye, when the water passes through, it's going to come out colored. That is why if you have a pastor that is covetous, for example, every time he preaches, he will be coveting, he will tell you to give him something. He will raise an offering. He will tell you to sow, to do this. I am not saying all that is wrong. I'm just saying that let us be careful and be discerning. You want God to speak to you? Primarily, the first way God speaks is through His Word. Through His Word. And if your heart is sincere, if your heart wants to hear God genuinely, sincerely, if your heart is sincere, if you are sincerely wrong also, God, the word of the Lord will come to you. Now, this Abimelech, if you read that story in Genesis chapter 20, what actually happened was he took Abraham's wife, Sarah, because Abraham told him, this woman is my sister. This is a king that didn't know God. And God will speak to somebody that didn't even know him. An idolater. A king that was over an idolatrous nation that was against the people of God. God spoke to him in a dream. So if God can speak to someone that does not know him, that is even against him, how much more you and I that really want to know him? So the state of our hearts is the first thing that determines the word of the Lord coming to us, receiving what God is saying, not what we want to hear. So God spoke to him, to this man. And this man, God came to him and told him, look, you are a dead man because you have taken somebody else's wife. This is someone who didn't know God. Didn't it surprise you that he was now having a conversation with God? King Abimelech, Genesis chapter 20, he now spoke back to God. Wait a minute. God speaks to somebody that does not know him, an enemy of God's people. And he too had the audacity to have a conversation with God. And you think you, a believer, God can't speak to you? And you can't have a conversation with God? Please, we need to check our theology. We need to check our belief system. We need to check the things we've been hearing. Are they in line with the word of God? And something interesting happened. He said, God. Yes. God came to warn him, you're a dead man. You've taken another man's wife. He said, yeah, I took his wife, but I took it in the integrity, the sincerity of my heart. The word of God came to Abimelech. Why? Because the heart of Abimelech was sincere. Only that he was sincerely wrong, sincerely misled by somebody who walked with God, who God began this walk of faith with, Abraham, who lied. Listen, the fact that you're a Christian doesn't mean once in a while you can't tell lies. If you are here and you have never told a lie since the day you gave your life to Jesus, please raise up your hand for an altar call so that we can cast out the spirit of lies out of you. We exaggerate. At times, we say God said, and God didn't say. At times, we say God said, we interpret it our own way. Listen, if you want to be safe with God, you want the word of the Lord to come to you, please, anytime you open the scriptures, don't take it literally. When I say literally, don't say because God said, Abraham, leave, God is telling me to leave. Please check your heart first. Because your heart, right from the day you heard a lot of things about your country, has always been wanting to leave that country. You are only just waiting to confirm, to hear what God will say. I shared a bit of my experience with us last week. And maybe I should just share a bit of that. Like I said, I got saved. I was 18 years old. And I began to hear God speak to me. And I began to have this hunger, this thirst. I wanted to know God. So I began to study the Bible. But the first 2 years after I got saved, I didn't know that I could grow in faith, grow in my knowledge of God. So I continued my life as usual. But then, once in a while, I would go for a fellowship and I will hear a message and it will convict me. Or I will hear something else again, it will convict me. Then one day, I've shared this before, but let me take it one step. I was inspired to start growing, to know the word of the Lord, to understand God more when I saw a young, beautiful girl reading the Bible, and I went to her and she said, she's growing in faith, and one way you grow your faith is by studying the word, praying, but not just praying, and also fellowshipping. I said, really? He said, okay, come. There's a fellowship. She took me to the fellowship, and I saw every question I had, she was always having an answer from the Bible. So it motivated me. I want to know the Bible too. So I began to study the Bible. And I began to receive revelations. But then, my revelations were wrong. Do you know why, Samuel? Because I was studying the Bible to compete with her. So that next time I see her, I'll be able to tell her, I read this. I read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I read about Daniel. I read about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, long-suffering, peace, gentleness, meekness, faith. Against all, there is no law. And that fruit of the Spirit is the Spirit giving you fruit. And when you get the fruit, you eat it, you eat it. The more you eat the fruit, the more you grow. That's my revelation. She said, no, 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 no. No, that's not what the Bible is saying. Why? I went to the Bible, studied the Bible, but then my motive, my heart was wrong. I was hearing what God was not saying. Some of us might be like that. We need to search our hearts. The strong word God gave us at the start of 2021 is about us having a new heart. A new heart. God wants to create in us a new heart and pour a right spirit in us. A right spirit. So if your heart is sincere, if your heart is open, if you are ready to allow the word to come to you to say what the word is saying, rather than giving it your own interpretation, you will hear God constantly speak to you. You will stop giving the word of God interpretation. Excuse me, there are many voices in the air. The Bible confirms that. I hear people say, God spoke to me. I had a voice say, I had this, I had that. Listen, there is no dispute about what you heard. Let me just categorically state that. Yes, you heard it. But who said it? What you heard, is it in line with the scriptures? And when I say in line with the scriptures, I'm learning now to take the scriptures in context. What was happening when God told Abraham, leave your country, leave your father's house, leave your kindred? Is that a similar situation to where I am? Then that's God speaking to you. But if it's not, you open the scriptures, God told Elijah, go. The word of the Lord came to him. Go to the brook Cherit. And you take that as God telling you to go. And then you get to the brook Cherit and you read again in verse 8 that God said, leave that brook Cherit. And you take that as God telling me, leave. You are taking the scriptures literally out of context. Is your situation similar to what Elijah was going through? If you want to know if your situation is similar, please read the pretext. Read the story. Read the circumstances. That is the way God speaks to us. Let me give us a story. We'll go part two, three next week. I was sharing with my wife recently. I said, you see, God bless my late mom. I was in a place. I shared with us last week, so let me tell us the concluding part. When I was graduating from the university, and in Nigeria where I come from, you serve, you do a compulsory 1-year youth service, and they send you the whole idea, idea behind the youth service was to get the youths of the country to experience other cultures. So they will send you from your state of origin to another state, go experience the culture, serve your nation, understand. It was to create some kind of unity in the country. And that was the original context. That was the original idea behind the National Youth Service, in case you didn't know. But if you look at what the world is now, the situation currently, they post you somewhere, you don't want to go there because of circumstances, because they are killing people, they are bombing people there. Anyway, please, God bless Nigeria in the name of Jesus. I am unashamedly, I am unapologetically a flu-blooded, born-bred Nigerian. I say that without any apology. I used to be ashamed of being a Nigerian. I am not. God knew that the only way I will fulfill my purpose on this earth is to be born in Nigeria. It's not a mistake. Please, it's not a mistake. I see some people bringing up children here. You come from another continent, and you are trying to make your children what they are not. It's not an accident. I see people, children, confused today. Confused.com. They don't know their identity. They don't know their roots. Because you've told them where they come from is something whole country. Rubbish. Do you think God makes mistakes? There are places I enter today because I'm a Nigerian. I'm telling you that. Because I used to be ashamed. But then when I began to understand that God does not make mistakes, there is a reason why he made sure I was born full-blooded with my dark skin pigmentation. A Nigerian. I start entering into my purpose in life. Please don't be ashamed of where you come from. And don't take Genesis 12 and say, yes, God said, Abraham, leave your country. Yeah, they kidnap in that country. So that's God speaking to me. No, God wants you to stay there and solve the kidnapping problem. What about that? Somebody is saying it's easy for you to say that. Let me tell you, it's not easy. It is not easy. I know what it cost me to leave Nigeria and come here as a missionary. I know. But story for another day. Anyway, I was going to serve the country. Let me begin to round up. And I prayed, like I said last week, God, wherever you know is your will, send me. I'm ready to accept the posting. And the posting came. And they sent me to a village. Excuse me. I prayed. God of the heaven and earth, you know the end from the beginning. You know your plan and purpose. I want to do your will. God, I want to do your will. You know me, and I know you. I thought I did. So the posting came, and I was sent to a village. I began to bind the devil, the one who has come to steal, to kill, and destroy my destiny. Me, village, no chance. Let me tell you a little bit of my story. It's not like I was afraid of the village. I had the opportunity once in my life. A posh boy, spoiled boy, went to the best school, failed my first GCSEs because I didn't even know why I was going to school. And I had to enroll and live in a village for 6 months. That was when I began to know the reason why I was going to school. A village with no water, no light, no pipe-borne water. Forget it. You go to the stream 3 a.m. in the morning. I was a posh, spoiled city boy. I lived in a village for 6 months. That happened to me when I was a teenager. So now I was out of university, and they sent me again to the village. I said, this can't be God. Affliction cannot arise twice. But I'm telling you, looking back now, that was God shaping my destiny. Anyway, cut a long story short, I went to the village and I threatened, I did everything, I bound, I looked at scriptures, I went to the word of God. No, the Bible says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you shall have them and you shall have them. In the name of Jesus, I post myself out of this village and I post myself to Lagos, commercial center of Nigeria, because I have a vision from God to go to America. How can I go to America from this village? Where is the visa office? How will I even? No chance. This is not God. I got myself posted out of there. God bless my late dad. I threatened him. Daddy, if you don't do anything and get me out of this village, you won't see me again. I was praying to God, and I was threatening my earthly father because I was working on his weaknesses and emotions, because I know he doesn't joke with us, his children. Anyway, I got a posting, got to the commercial center, I said, yeah, when I get, I want to serve in an oil company. Yeah, I got myself in the oil company. I was fresh. And when people asked me, the fellow people that I left in the village, because I told them, I said, I just want to go home to just go and catch up with my family. I'll be back in 2 weeks. I didn't come back. My clothes, my bucket, and things are still in that village till today. 1990. That was 1990. 1990. How many years ago is that, Jessica? Jessica, don't look away. Sorry, not Jessica. Jemima, JJJ. How many years ago is that? 1990 to now. 31 years. Okay, that was 31 years ago. Where were you then? Okay. In the spirit. So I left the place. They asked me, how come you left us in this village? I thought you said God. I said, no. The Bible says God grants me the desires of my heart. Yeah. So God granted me the desire of my heart. That's why I can't stay in the village. And I was there, feeding fat, standing on the revelation that God gave me the desires of my heart. But then, first year, I finished my service here. Second year, all the opportunities that were coming to me, I was turning down. No, I don't want this. I'm going to America. Anyway, I spent the next 5 years of my life in what I would call a wilderness, because I was now out of the will of God, because I gave the word of God my own private interpretation. I was kind of just going in a circle. Did I have money? Yes, I had money. But then, lucky, I couldn't pinpoint what I was doing with the money. The money was coming and it was going. Was I looking fresh? Come on. If you saw me then, Daddy Chisholm, if you saw me then, I was looking fresher than you. I didn't have black beard like that. There was no white beard then, you know. I was looking very good on the outside, achieving everything I wanted to achieve, changing jobs at the point, like I was changing clothes. And then I suddenly find myself without a job. The brook dried up. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. I found myself 1 year, 5 months, unemployed. Was I employable? I was employable, but I never found a job. Then one day I was reading the Bible, and the Bible said he granted them their request. I said, yes, that's the scripture I used 5 years ago. And then I saw the context, Christine. He granted them their request and sent leanness to their soul. And I went to read the context. Yeah, it was the children of Israel. God was taking them through the wilderness of life to take them to the promised land. But then they were in the wilderness and they began to murmur and complain and fight God and fight Moses. And demanding from God, you must give me this, you must give me that. And then one day they were asking God, what's this manna? What's this bread? This flower that's coming from heaven. We are tired of this. We want variety. So, yeah, we want quails. God began to send them everything. The quails, they came until it was coming out of their nose. There are times when you pray and God God will answer. Listen, but you are forcing the hand of God. I was lean. So 5 years fast forward, I had another experience. And God asked me again, giving me a second chance. I was posted again when I relaxed that, okay, I want your will to be done. And I remember I had a discussion with my mother that, no, this is, God cannot take me away from this Lagos again. It's not possible. But then she said, look, let's pray. No, mommy. So I went to pray and I heard God speak to me clearly. Go to that city where the job I got and they posted me to out of Lagos was a city called Akure. Go to that city. Somewhere when I heard go to that city. Please, can I have 3 more minutes of your time? Because I'm looking at the time. Or do I stop here and you? You hear it next week? I know you will say go on because it's gist. If I say open to Zephaniah chapter 5, verse 10 and 2, you say, no, Pastor, it's enough. It's enough. Anyway, I'll go on. Thank you for that, sir. Where was I? So I was sent to that city. I said, no, this is not God. But then I heard God say, go. Samuel, do you know what I heard? Go. When you go there, they will post you back to Lagos. So I went. I heard the word of the Lord, but I gave it my own interpretation. Why? Because I want to go to Lagos. Deep down. So I got there. In fact, the way they welcomed me, I was even received with a prophetic word by a stranger that I didn't know who told me, God brought you to this city. I said, yeah, I know that one. He said, I can tell you don't want to stay in this city. I said, look, God brought you here. Stay. I didn't know this man. I was just walking, he saw me. The first day, and I entered the office where I was posted to. He said, stay here. He said, look at your stomach, it's so flat. Right then, I was so skinny. As skinny as Samuel. No, sorry. Samuel is not skinny. How old is your marriage? Going to 2 years this December. Because I remember when you came and took Ify. You are not as fine as this then, you know. And your cheeks were not out like that. You didn't have beard like this. Come on, celebrate Ify for me. And by the way, Samuel, I can see you're doing a good job. I was telling my wife, my goodness, Ify's glowing. She's looking so beautiful. That must be the hand of Samuel. Amen. Sorry, that was a digression. Where was I? So the man told me, said, stay here. Look at your stomach, it's flat. You will eat what is known as pounded yam. He said, you eat pounded yam here, your stomach will come out. I was not telling him, after the beautiful thing you said, that God, you know, what is pounded yam? He now whispered to my ears, maybe your wife is here. That's why God sent you. As I know. Do you know what I heard, Samuel? There was a girl I was chasing that time. And she was from that area. I said, this is confirmation. There is that girl. True life story. This is the confirmation. Because she told me she had lived around that Akure before. I said, that is the confirmation. Anyway, I tried everything. I prayed. I used scriptures. Another 1 year, 5 months, I was struggling. They did not post me out of that city. So one night, as I closed, the brook dried up. I was tired of life. And I began to pray to God. For that 1 year, 5 months, I never spent a weekend in that city. I will go back to the Lagos, my city of dreams. Where I believe God is. God cannot be in this. Don't let me say it before I get my wife angry. Anyway, 1 year, 5 months. One night, I'd had it. I was moving from one house to the other. I made sure I didn't settle. I made myself uncomfortable. You know, the Bible said God was taking them from place to place, so they had tent. I was using scriptures to justify my not settling in that city. And giving everything I was hearing my own interpretation. So I was homeless. In fact, they gave me a nickname in those days. They called me a refugee. It was meant to be funny. Then I began to hear God speak to me again. Because now I was now in a place where I shouldn't be staying with somebody I shouldn't be staying with. Homeless. The person just showed mercy on me and took me in his house. So I was sleeping on his floor. And God spoke to me and told me and took me on the journey of my life. And I heard God speak to me. The word of the Lord came to me. 5 years ago, you know, ago when I sent you to that village, you said you wanted to do my will. And I sent you to that village. I don't want to mention it so I don't disrespect people from there. Because it seems like the place is still a village. 20, 31 years after. Still not very developed. God bless all our leaders in Nigeria. And raise leaders who will develop our country. Said, you asked me. And I sent you. And you've been given everything, your own private interpretation. It's brought you to where you are now. The brook has dried up again. And I heard clearly that, are you ready to do my will now? I said, Lord, I'm ready to do your will. I was having a conversation. I'm ready. He said, all right. I said, Lord, what do I do? He said, settle. I brought you into this city for a reason. What was the last word that came to me 1 year, 5 months of struggling there ago? It was go to that city. The word of the Lord didn't tell me to leave the city. I interpreted, I went to scriptures and interpreted the scripture to tell me to leave. So stay in the city. So I said, Lord, I surrender. I'm even tired. So that day I went to get a house. I got a house. Miraculously, God opened the door. Let me tell you, when God speaks to you, you don't struggle. I'm telling you the truth. When God says go and you are going, God will confirm his word with signs following. But you are going and you are still trying to break doors open. That's not God. I am the one that opens the door no man can shut. I'm the one that shuts the door no man can open. God told you to go to America and you have to lie to go to America. That is not God. I will tell us next week, compromise and consequences. I went off tangent for 5 years of my life, living the life of a fugitive because I was giving the word of God my own private interpretation. So I settled. I said, Lord, I'm tired. 2 weeks after, the word of the Lord came to me somewhere and told me, can you remember a conversation you had 1 year ago when you first came to this city? Somebody was telling you about one sister. I said, yeah, it was the sister. I went to the guy again, talked to him. And he mentioned Wura. I said, yes. And I heard God tell me, that's your wife. So I began to look for Wura in that city that I didn't want to go. In that city that I struggled giving the word of the Lord my own private interpretation. Just because the brook dried up. But the question is, how did you get to the drying brook in the first place? Anyway, cut a long story short, I settled. And the city I did not want to stay, not even for 7 minutes. I ended up spending 7 years of my life. I met my wife, Wura, there, got married, we had our first son. God told me about ministry, God told me about the Redeemed Christian Church, God told me about my life, I started pastoring. And 5 years into the journey, I wanted to leave the city again. And God came to me. What was the last instruction? Settle down. When it's time to leave, I will tell you. So I settled. I was given offers. To leave. The word of the Lord had not come. So I stayed. When it was 7 years, the word of the Lord came. And that's how I came to the UK with my wife. I met her in that city, Akure. And the missing picture of my life, the missing part of my life, she brought it. Ended up coming to this country as missionaries. This is 20 years after I'm here. That's why you are listening to me. Please bow your heads today. Lord, speak to me in a way I can understand and help me to stop interpreting your word, giving it a private interpretation. Father, I pray right now for everyone. Whatever you have not said, they will not hear. Whatever private interpretation is going on right now, I bind and silence that voice of the devil. Listen. Listen. The voice that's telling you to jump, jump, jump. That's not God. I heard the Spirit of God remind me. The devil took Jesus to a high mountain and showed him the glory. And said, I'll give you all this if you jump. Please, don't jump because of the glory that you have been promised. Hear the word of the Lord and hear what God is saying the way God is saying it. But it starts with our hearts. If your heart is not right and you know, I'm not making an altar call. Just pray today, create in me that right heart that will hear you. Some of us are in a place we have compromised for years. Please, this word is not come to condemn you. No. I bind that condemning word that's hitting your conscience and condemning you, making you feel less. No. The word of the Lord comes to realign us back. Yeah, you know you've compromised. But Lord, I want to do your will now. You will see how doors will begin to open. Effortlessly. You will see how the situation you have been struggling with, God will begin to ease. Father, I pray. And once again, I silence that voice of condemnation. I pray people will not hear what you did not say. I pray, make this word simple. I pray, make your spirit come upon every heart right now. Clear, uproot what you have not planted. Create a clean heart. Let your word begin to germinate and take root. I pray for every child here. Lord, whatever way they were born, whether in wedlock or out of wedlock, let them know today they were not a mistake. You make all things work together for the good of those who love you. Let your love be poured afresh in every heart in this place right now. The love for God, the love for the things of God, the love to do your will, the love to follow your counsel. And in the name of Jesus, afflictions that may want to arise, because you heard this word today, will not choke the word of God. You will be strong. You will know what to do. You will not be short of counsel. Father, thank you for leading these ones to the right counselor who will speak your heart. Father, thank you. I surrender my heart, my will to you again. And in the name of Jesus, you will be fruitful. You will be fruitful in this land. Amen. You will multiply. Amen. You will replenish. You will take dominion in every domain God has given you. And I pray, Lord, for those who may not know you, reveal yourself once again. Thank you. Please, just talk to God right now. Be it unto me according to what you are saying.